Ladies and gentlemen, babies, veterans, welcome to it. This is Behind the Boards Conversation, and I'm here with the main man, Yolo Fama. How are you?
Nah, well, how are you?
I'm good. I'd like to introduce yourself, like maybe tell everyone where you're from.
Oh, yeah. Yo, what's good? It's your boy, Yolophonic. I'm an alternative hip-hop house producer, DJ, songwriter. Born and bred in Pretoria. I've been here my whole life. That's a quick sum up.
A quick sum up of who you are. Now, talking about this whole songwriter thing, man, because I saw you mentioned it amongst your titles.
Yeah.
You just became one for Universal. So what exactly does that entail?
Yeah, so basically that means it just consists of me composing a song, but enough to the point where I'm considered as a songwriter. So if I contribute enough to like a melody, for example, then I would be considered as a songwriter. So it's not necessarily just me writing lyrics. That could be included, but that's not the main premise of like my signing. So yeah, mainly I'm just a producer, but I just contribute enough to the song that considers me as a songwriter. So that's really what it is.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope. So, like, that would be something like creating, like, the actual pocket, maybe.
Yes.
Structuring a song in a certain way.
Yeah.
If you do enough of that, you're considered a songwriter.
Yeah. That's really what it is. Yeah.
I know, but that's dope, man. That's dope. On the day you got the news, how did you feel?
Man, yo. It was quite surreal because I was fortunate enough to like be a volunteer at the songwriting camp that they had last year.
Oh, yeah?
In September, and I just got to be in that universe for like about a week. And yeah, it was something I really enjoyed. I kind of felt like I belonged here, and it was something I thought I wouldn't mind doing this for like, you know, a couple of years, you know, just trying this out. And then shortly afterwards, I got approached by them, and then they told me about it, and I was like, "Wow!"
Oh shit, that's dope. So their first impression of you came from the whole camp thing.
Yes. Me being a volunteer at the camp.
Yeah, as a volunteer.
Yeah.
Oh man, and like, what did that camp specifically entail? Was it like a bunch of people there on camp, or how exactly did it work?
So basically the camp was intended for Universal artists. What they did is they got a bunch of their artists signed to them and brought them to a house, and then for a week they just go, they'd allocate certain rooms to certain genres. So you have your piano room, R&B room, hip-hop room and stuff. And then basically they just let any artist that wants to go in there make some music. And yeah, they just try to get like a bit of music done within that week.
Within a space of time.
Yes. Yeah, that's really what it was. And then us as the volunteers were just there to make sure that, you know, they felt good, they were comfortable, and that kind of thing. Very simple things, nothing hectic. But it was cool because we got to like speak to these people and just connect with them, and also just also get to watch the process, but also not forgetting to do your job as well. So there's a balance as well. But it was a very comfortable environment. Everyone had fun. It was just good energy. So yeah.
Yeah. Did you meet anyone that you kind of look up to there?
Yeah, I got to meet Pretty Ugly there.
Oh yeah.
Trezor, he's incredible. There were a couple of people. Oh yeah, that's when I met Blackie for the first time. In person.
Oh damn.
So that was cool.
You guys are like a dynamic duo.
It's cool, man.
Before I get back to the whole camp situation.
Yeah.
Now that you've brought up Blackie.
Yeah.
I want to know, would you be down to do like a collab tape with it? Like a full on tape?
Definitely.
Do you see that in the works?
Have you
guys spoken about it?
Sadly, it hasn't been discussed, but I'd totally be down for something like that, actually. Like, I really rate his musicianship. Like, and he's got an ear. What I've noticed is that, like, there's a reason why the R&B stuff really works well.
Yeah.
It's because I feel like he's really quite a soul child. So, like, when it comes to, like, soulful music, man, I feel like we align very well. Yeah. So if we were to make a project together, yeah, it would be crazy. But sadly, it hasn't been spoken about, but I'm totally down.
Totally. Blackie, do the right thing. Okay, and at this camp, so like you said, it was basically to drum up as many songs as they can in this space of time, right?
Yeah.
And you said your role in the whole thing was just to make everyone comfortable.
Yeah.
But that wasn't songwriting specifically, right?
Yes. So we weren't directly involved in like the whole process. It was just if they needed a drink, we could get them a drink, snacks, you know, like very simple things, very simple things. And also just ensuring that the equipment was also fine, you know, if they needed an extra monitor or whatever, we get that for them. Very simple things, very simple things.
So how did they know about you in that little pocket of space? Like, did you manage to talk to someone and say, yo, man, I'm actually trying to get on board with this and this?
Not really. What's interesting is that, so a friend of mine is actually under Universal.
Yeah.
And so I think we've worked together. So my friend and I have worked on some stuff together.
Yeah.
So I think what was the case is that during the signing, so he's done with the Universal currently, but like during that time, the A&R guy heard some of the stuff I made with him. So it was a thing of like, well, who's this kid? So he kind of knew of me before the camp came. And then once the camp started, then it was a thing of like, oh, damn, you're that kid.
You're that kid.
Yeah. So it was kind of like, okay, we met in person now.
Yeah.
And then also got to speak with like a couple of the A&R guys there at Universal and stuff.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really like a business thing. It was more like just good energy and just enjoying each other's company. And then what's interesting is that I actually got to work on a song during that process.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we weren't meant to, circumstances broke. that kind of happened. So yeah, I think during that whole process, they were kind of like, well, damn, bro, he's onto something. So
it was looking around the room thinking, these niggas are amateurs, man.
Nah, not even, bro. Not even, man. Nah, not even, bro. It was cool. It was really cool. But yeah, like, a lot of, yeah, just like all these things coming together.
Nah, man, it's dope how everything aligned, bro. Congrats, dog.
Thank you. Jeez. Thank you so much, man.
And then YOLO FM, bro, because Emma, you hit us with a double whammy. Like a week apart, right? It was a week apart.
Yeah, I believe so.
Like, how did that come about? Who did you purchase to?
I think, yo, that was really just a blessing because, I think two or three employees at Apple Music reached out to me via email and they're like, yo, we like your music, we like what you do. I think one of them might have been at my sets, so like I'm a DJ, so they might have seen me play at a set and they're like, man, this boy can curate, man, so let's hit him up. So then they literally sent me an email just discussing like how the whole thing works and then asking me to curate a mix for them on a monthly basis, and I'm like, that is dope, man.
That's dope.
That is so dope. So I'm like, yeah, let's do this. And then just came up with the name, the cover art, simple things.
YOLO FM, man, that's so dope.
So, yo,
that's so dope.
It's crazy.
God.
Nah, that was a blessing, bro.
Nah, that was dope. So they just approached you.
Yeah, they did. It wasn't.
That's some crazy stuff, bro. And it's dope how it just happened right after you graduated, right?
Bro, the timing, everything is just crazy.
It was crazy.
Mad.
What were you studying?
So I was studying music business at the campus of performing arts. I did a bridging course, but that was intended for me to study at TUT, actually. I was going to study music there. But then I think after the year that I studied the bridging course, it made more sense to stay there. Because they offered quite a few like things there as well. So I thought, man, let me just do that. And then stuck through the next 3 years there. So
That's really dope, though.
It's a blessing, man. It's a blessing. Like being able to study something you're passionate about, it's just like, yo, man.
Hey, man, I wish it. A blessing. Oh, damn. I forgot about this thing.
No, it's all good.
Yeah, I lose the shape like it.
No, abiding student.
You know, I'm that guy.
That's really what it is.
Yeah, man. And then one thing I wanted us to like jump back to is like the name. Where does it come from? Like what inspired YOLO Funny? Was it around the time when YOLO was a thing?
Nah, not even. There's nothing deep about it, honestly. Mm. It was just me on Twitter. For a while I was on Twitter, but just like with my government name.
What's your government name?
So it's Andrew Masondo.
Really?
Yeah, for those who don't know, who still don't know, it's actually my great-grandfather's name, so it's just like passing on that legacy. Basically, like, I was just on Twitter, and then I saw a tweet by Euphonic, ding, 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 so then I kind of joked around and thought, yo, wouldn't it be cool if we had another phonic in the industry? And then I just played with a couple of words. And then, yeah, Yellow Phonic came up, but honestly speaking, it was meant to be like a temporary name.
Yeah.
But then, people really enjoyed that name. Yeah. I was like, aye, cool. So, yeah.
Did you have an alternative name to it?
No. But I thought Yellow Phonic, just sounds quite random, you know?
It does.
So it's just like, you know, and then I have to explain it in interviews, and it's like, it's not that deep.
It's not
so.
That deep, bro.
So I'm literally just another phonic in the industry. Just think of it that way.
Hey, man, at least your phonic is bad, so.
I think I have a bit of a generic story in the sense of like
Church I've been, boy.
Nah, not even. Like I enjoyed listening to music as a kid.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just me singing like my favorite songs and stuff. What's cool is that like each family member had their own influence or like songs that they enjoyed or genres rather.
Yeah.
So like my old man enjoyed like your jazz music and your ballads, and then my mom and aunt enjoyed like R&B and like pop music.
Yeah.
My uncle enjoyed like reggae music, you know, like old school rap. So I was already exposed to like a variety of music.
Yeah.
But then what happened is that like, well, not really what happened is just, I think I would say my journey really started in 2011 because a friend of mine told me about a program called FL Studio.
Oh, it's just a production software
for those who don't know. And then, yeah, as the years went by, I got really comfortable producing. So I kind of left the songwriting thing on the side, but it was my initial intention when going into music, but I guess the path kind of changed. But yeah, one of my goals this year is to get back into
Songwriting. Yeah, more
just,
songwriting.
Yeah, yeah, like write songs and just really, refine that skill.
And like which genres do you see yourself writing for, like the most?
Definitely R&B,
okay.
Hip-hop, you know what I mean? I would say those are like the primary genres, but I wouldn't mind trying other things. But yeah, primarily it would be those two.
Makes sense, you're black.
Yeah, nigga.
Of
course.
Another thing I wanted to ask, man.
Yeah.
Now that you said you named R&B first, right?
Yeah.
There's this idea I have. I need like an R&B posse cut in South Africa, right? Mm. So I want to know, if you were to have an R&B posse cut, who would you have in it? Like, one of my 6 R&B artists are taking one beat, one after the other.
Yeah, yo, dude. There are a couple. I would say, yo, Fila Lala.
Oh, yeah.
Namaka Star, she's incredible.
She is.
Wow, man. Yo, Blackie, definitely bring him on board. Yo, there are a couple, man, I think those are the ones that immediately come to mind. But
those
like,
three.
There are a lot that I rate, honestly, yeah, like, yo. Yeah. Like the local industry is filled with so many gems, man. It's crazy.
But there seems to be like, I don't know, like a weird ceiling when it comes to R&B in South Africa.
Yeah.
Everyone just becomes like, what's this, an amapiano vocalist at some point. Even
the rappers
morphs into an amapiano vocal.
It's really unfortunate. It really is. But I guess I'm not gonna fault them for it, because it's kind of like, well, if it works, then it works. Good for you.
Buns, word.
You know what
word.
I mean? So like, no one's confined to one genre. Just because you started there doesn't mean you have to stay there your whole life. You could develop and try other things as well. So that's just my chat.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I saw you tweet something saying that you said you can't make trap beats anymore.
I was just tired that day, don't worry. People shouldn't overthink that, bro. It was just a day where I didn't feel inspired. It was just that particular day. But I think as well, like in general, I think I'm experimenting a lot more.
Yeah.
So it's not directly just trap music. It's kind of like a variation of it. So it's like a mixture of different genres kind of coming together. That's kind of where I'm at.
That's what your sound sounds like there.
Yeah, yeah. It's
like a clash of genres. Like, well, you wouldn't confine yourself, of course.
No, definitely.
But trap is where it started.
Yes, yes, it started there because, like, those are the only tutorials that were available on YouTube at the time. So it was just like that thing, like, just to get started with it. But then, yeah, as time went on, I learned more things, and it was like, well, cool, I can start doing this now, or this, or this. So, yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, yeah. Now, talking about things like production and something that's become, okay, over the years, I've seen it grow in a way, but, like, it's producer... is Colan, right?
Yeah.
And you basically have a right hand man in J6, right?
yeah, definitely.
Are you guys working on something like long term, something like a full-on project?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Because like, yo, we have like so much stuff together, it's kind of crazy. It even gets to a point where it's like once in a while we'll check what's in the archives, open it up and be like, dude, we made this, bro. Like, what's the plan of this? So yeah, definitely dropping a project. What's cool is that, like, I think we might drop a project like just us, so me and J6.
Yeah.
And then there's one with myself, J6, and Tukuru.
And Tukuru.
Yeah, Tukuru. Because like
he's
absolutely incredible. So like yeah, I think that may be a possibility as well. But yeah, definitely a J6 and YOLO project.
J6 and YOLO. Yeah. And one with Tukuru as well.
Yeah.
But where does your relationship with J6 stem from?
It's crazy because I think it was just that thing of like me knowing Tukuru.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they're bros.
Oh, they're
so,
bros.
Yeah, so it was that thing of like, oh yeah. So then we kind of linked up in that way. And then I got to meet like Tsukuru's team, well, just like people that he works with.
Yeah.
And then J6 was a part of that group. And then we just decided to have like one session on Discord, and things went really smoothly, bro. And then since then, that's really what it's been, because he's based in Grahamstown.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, we can't do like the
physical.
Person,
yeah. The so you guys have sessions. Never met?
No, we have. Okay. But it's just a thing of like when we work on music, then yeah, that's what it primarily is.
Yeah. That's dope, bro. Yeah. It's dope to see that the internet's bringing a lot of artists together, man.
Dude, you'd be surprised at how many joints were made on Discord, bro. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if you guys know. He mentioned it a bit, but like Hash's tape, right? His latest album.
Yeah.
That was primarily made through Discord.
Shit.
Like everything.
His latest.
Yeah, it wasn't even a thing of like, yeah, let's meet in person, let's make music. It was a Discord thing. It was like he'd hop on, maybe flex, would make a beat or whatever, yeah. And then yeah, they just work through that. It's because like even Count My Blessings, that was made on Discord.
Oh shit.
Like, so it's literally a Discord tape. So yo. Like people, I feel like people don't really rate that platform.
They really don't.
They
That's
don't.
The
no,
a
they
lot
don't.
Of people
it's
things feel more organic in person. Blah, blah, blah.
It is, but I feel like when times are tough, then
you have to make do with what you got.
Exactly. Yeah. And don't downplay what something could be. You know what I mean? Like, I think Discord is so friendly when it comes to things like collaborations,
because
they have like all sorts of like features that like are very helpful and like just cool. So yeah, it's just stuff like that, man. It's like,
yeah,
man.
It's crazy that this is not a Discord plug. Discord. Listen.
Waiting for my bag.
Yeah. But man, that's actually really crazy. Because now it's got me wondering, bro. You and I were talking in the car earlier, right?
Yeah.
And you're talking a bit about like Universal and like the catalog you have exposed to you and the kind of artists you can actually play cheese with.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking that like Universal is also international.
Yeah.
Who from overseas would you like want to work with immediately?
Oh, it's
even if it's via Discord.
Hey. Yeah, no, wow, man, like, it has a crazy roster. I think for me, it's a thing of, like, I'd have to make a wish list.
Yeah.
Because if you actually think about how many people are signed to Universals, it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, because there are a lot of labels also.
That's the thing, yeah, that are under Universal. So it's just, like, figuring out how all of that is. So I actually owe them a wish list of, like, people that I'd like to work with. So... yeah, I'm gonna have to do some research and then just figure out who's under there, and then see if I have something that's suitable for that artist.
Because,
yeah. Man, Universal's huge. I think people don't realize that, like, it's a whole department. Like,
everyone's basically signed.
That's the thing. It's crazy. So, yeah, I owe people a wish list. But, yeah, hopefully in the next coming months, I could just tweet something and be like, yo, I'm trying to work with these people. Yeah, or at least I'm able to. Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember another thing we spoke about was the plan you have, and that's to drop every month.
Yeah. I'm trying to drop something at least every month. You know what I mean? If it's not an EP, then at least like a single. Just something to build that catalog on all DSPs. That's really what it is.
All DSPs, because most of the catalog is on SoundCloud.
Yeah, SoundCloud. Right? So we're trying to compensate for
for all those. What's the problem with like just taking that catalog?
Hey, clearing samples. Because, like, it could get to a point where, like, I could try clear the sample, but then I won't earn anything from that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because, yeah, like, some people have very high demands when it comes to clearing samples. So, yeah, it gets a bit tricky there. So, I think it's easier said than done. Ideally, that's what I would love to do, but, like, realistically, it wouldn't be very... Yeah, it's firstly not that easy, and it's not profitable either. Because, that's the issue.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
Okay, now, talking about still a bit on like what Universal is and what it has to offer. You're signed to them as a songwriter, meaning that you're still an independent artist, right?
Yes.
So what does that mean for you? Like, can you release through other things?
Distributors. So like, okay, so I'm signed as a songwriter.
Yeah.
Underneath the publishing side. So this essentially means that I'm still an indie artist, but what they do is that they handle the publishing side of my music. So it doesn't matter what distributor I use, really. Because it's as long as the music is out there. I think that's what they're most concerned about.
And they're
just trying to generate money from that.
From there.
So, yeah, I could use any distributor. There's a lot of freedom there. But it's just I can't get signed to another publisher. That's really what it is. Yeah.
Oh, man, but that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense, bro. I feel like as far as sound bending or genre bending
goes,
you're one of those bros. Country. And I want to know, like, where does it come from?
I think it's just my love for music in general, because like, it sounds very generic, but a lot of people will say, oh man, I can listen to any genre. Like, yeah. I think
don't play me guys.
I think the chat with that now is that you don't have to listen to every song under that genre.
Word.
But there are specific songs that you might enjoy within that genre.
Yeah.
So that's how I kind of see it. It's kind of like each genre almost has something, or those songs that they can say, man, this is good music. You know, that anyone could enjoy it. So I think it's from that mindset, really. It's just me enjoying music in general and not trying to confine myself to one thing. Because, like, you know... Like, I think it's a world full of, like, so many possibilities. And just trying different things is, like, damn.
Trying different things is the best thing.
Man. Yeah, it's cool, man. It's cool. It's fun. It keeps music, like, engaging.
Yeah.
Instead of it being, like, a trap thing where you just have to make trap bangers.
Yeah. I feel like South Africa is, like, slowly going through a cycle with a certain genre. I can't say anything because I'll get killed.
Let's not do that. But, dude, I feel like... It just, especially if you're signed to a label, if you're confined to one genre, then it's kind of like it becomes an occupation, and it's like,
it's no longer fun.
Exactly, you miss out like the purpose of making music. It's just not fun anymore. Yeah. So, I'm trying to avoid that. I'm trying to keep music fun and engaging.
This actually has me going back to the whole Universal. The camp, the songwriter
camp.
Didn't like being there make you feel like that? Like just watching from the outside, but it still seems super creative and everyone is having fun.
I feel like what was the case at the camp is that they just got people that specialize in this genre.
Oh yeah, they weren't really forcing anyone.
It wasn't a thing of like you all have to make amapiano hits. It's kind of like, okay, let people that specialize in that genre, put them all in one room, let them create. Mm. Just let them have fun. It wasn't an expectation of you have to make 10 songs or whatever. It was just come in here, let's try and see how much music we can make, and most importantly, let's have fun. So the environment, in essence, was just about not overthinking anything and just doing what you want to do. That's dope.
Universal sounds like fun.
It's awesome, man. It's a beautiful environment. Like, yeah. I feel like, yeah, dude, there are stories you'll hear about, like, labels and ish. Yeah. But they are, like, beautiful sides of it. Definitely. Especially when you connect with the right people as well. Mm. It's just a beautiful thing. I'm trying to work on a tape with Rojo, like a proper tape with Rojo.
Yeah, but we need that one.
Yeah,
I
know.
You guys gave us.
Hey man, we failed to miss. We failed to miss. So yeah, definitely that. But yeah, I think generally it's quite cool because like now, I'm also able to like just communicate and like link up with quite a few Pretoria's like artists and stuff. So I'm connecting with Tato Soul. Tyson
ST,
you know what I mean? Like, just the cream of the crop. These brews are just doing some other things, bro. So it's really cool that like I'm always in contact with them. Mm. And yeah, this Wednesday I have a session with like Trumpire, Tyson, Physique. So you know what I mean? So it's really cool. Like, I think I'm just down to like collaborate at this point.
You're open to anything.
Yeah, because. For me, I kind of learn from these collaborations, so it's really cool. It's just like, well, why not?
So there's no L when it comes to collaborating.
Yeah,
if it sucks, it was dope.
Exactly. As long as we just went through that and you know just experienced it, that's all that matters. All that matters. Yeah.
So yeah, man. Speaking of everything like collabs and stuff, something I've been watching recently.
Yeah.
You know, only one episode dropped, right?
I believe one.
Yeah, yeah. This is genius.
Genius.
Docky, man. Yeah. And yeah, it got me thinking firstly, right? Would you ever do a docky style thing?
Like, I think
your journey once you become a billionaire?
Man, I would totally be down for like a documentary kind of thing. Because, like, I think for me, it's very easy for me to forget sometimes, like, how much work you actually have to put in to kind of get to where you are. And it's not even like in a narcissistic way, it's just like sometimes. You're so hard on yourself because you see people probably ahead of you and you're well, damn, I'm not there yet. And that's all you say about yourself. You're just like, shit, I still need to get to that point before I'm something. So yeah, having a documentary would be really cool, man. And just like being able to inspire others to just be patient, consistent with themselves. You know, that would be cool.
Having some sort of constant reminder.
Yeah.
But what do you do now like to constantly remind yourself to be like... grateful, appreciative of the spots you're in.
Yeah, I put that shit in my notes, man. It's just it's just in my notes. Yeah, just so that I'm kind of like it's really just putting it in my notes. That's kind of like, okay, wow, I actually did that. That's cool.
Yeah, but from watching the Kanye docu, like, are you seeing any resemblances between how what you've been through or what you're currently going through versus what like he went through way back when.
I think for me, watching the documentary, it's kind of like you have to put in so much work to kind of get to a certain place. And I kind of think of my journey in a way. It's not the same journey, but in the sense that, like, I've been producing for almost like 9 years now, so it's been a minute. It's been a while. So, like, and only in year five did I only start seeing things really, like, moving.
Yeah.
So I think in that sense, it's kind of like, damn, yeah, you really have to put in the work to kind of see good results. So I kind of relate in that sense. But yeah, generally, it's also just inspiring because, like, him being consistent has paid off, because we see where he is now. He's a bloody billionaire with, like, multiple businesses. His catalog is worth so much right now. It's very inspiring. So it's just another reminder to just keep going, keep pushing,
keep at it.
Yeah.
And then, like, also, of course, from the first episode, you see his mom and come through yonder, right?
Yeah.
And I guess it also highlights how important it is to have, like, that kind of support structure. So I wanted to know, what do you have, anyone like that for you? Like, when you first got the news from Apple, when you first got the news from Universal, who was the first person you hit up and said, yo?
I think a few people will be surprised, but it was just like my bro from campus, bro.
Word?
Like, yeah, I think we're just good homies. So, like, yeah. He was literally the first guy I hit up, and I was like, dude, this happened, bro. And yeah, he was fucking aesthetic. It was so cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was really cool. And then I think a couple of days later, I kind of told the Reds about it.
Dude.
Like, I think for me, it's a thing of, like, because it was around the time when they approached me with it. It wasn't done. It wasn't signed and sealed yet.
Yeah.
So I think it was just telling them that Universal hit me up. That's when I told the brew first, and then I told the Rent about it.
How do you feel about it?
I think, my mom is definitely proud. My aunt was. My grandfather doesn't really get it, so it's kind of like, that's cool, I guess. Yeah, it's kind of like, okay, congratulations. At least you got a job now. So yeah, I think that's where it came from. But yeah, dude, I think after a while you started noticing, it's actually quite a serious thing.
Yeah.
And then he was actually proud of me. So yeah, like, it was that progression.
Yeah, but that's dope, bro. That's dope. At least your boy was ecstatic.
Ecstatic.
Yeah, that's the word.
That was really cool.
Yeah, man. Now, honestly, I'm genuinely looking forward to what you have to drop in the year to come, bro. And another thing that I really want you to do is, like, please make that posse cut a thing, man.
The
posse cut.
Posse cut?
Yeah.
What is that?
You know what a posse cut is? It's basically, you know, like, when you have a song, there's a bunch of different rappers on it.
Oh,
yeah, but that with R&B singers.
Crazy.
So, like, the posse cut in your scene this year.
Okay. I think I'd definitely be keen for something like that. That's crazy. Do, yo, damn. Yeah, that's got me thinking. I should come up with a list of people that I'd like on board. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that'd be fun.
Then, like I said, what's for you this year, and especially considering the fact that, like, It's just been COVID heavy, Festivals are coming up. It's about to be Afropunk time. Daisy's time. Are you looking forward to those? Do you think you might play?
I'm definitely looking forward to it. It's crazy. Shout out to the people on Twitter, man. They're really, like, tagging me on, like, the Afropunk thing. So, like, they're asking, you know, every year, they're like, who would you like to see? And people have been tagging me. So, like, yo, it'll be so crazy. It'll be crazy if I got to perform at one of those. At least, like, either Rocking the Daisies or Afropunk.
Yeah.
That'll be really full circle. If it gets to a point where, like, I'm unable to perform, I still want to go, man. Because it's just, like, they're just good vibes.
They're just good vibes.
So, yeah, I'd definitely just like to attend one, at least. Because it's been a while. The last one I went to was in 2018. Yeah, that was crazy.
Oh, was it Afropunk?
Yeah, Afropunk, by the way. And then, they had Kaytranada there, Flying Lotus, The Internet. Yeah. Muzi was there as well. It's crazy. Yo, it was a whole vibe. So I'd love to experience that again.
Yeah, speaking of which, like, what's your relationship with Muzi currently?
with Muzi, I think we're just like cool gents. It's I think it's on an acquaintance level.
Yeah.
It's just like really good vibes.
Just I feel pioneers in the same kind of thing. Because I mean,
yeah, you know, I hear you, man.
Similar bags. It's not the exact same bag, man.
I hear you. Yeah, in that sense. But like, I think for us, it's just getting to know each other first before working on the music. And I feel like it's quite a great approach, actually, because like you feel more comfortable with this person instead of it just being a thing of like, let's go into the studio, let's make music.
Let's work.
You know, because if the vibes are off, then you're not gonna make great music.
Nothing comes around.
Yeah, so I think it's just us getting to know each other first and then making music. But like, yeah, it's cool. We rate each other, we support each other. It's just good vibes.
Yeah. And I noticed, like, aside from music, you're also like an artsy person, right?
Yeah.
So definitely. When it comes to things like visual arts, like, are you into painting or like more digital?
I did have a phase of like painting, but yeah, sadly I think production took a lot of my time, eh?
Really?
It was something I would do from like 8 in the morning until 8 the following day.
Oh my god.
You know what I mean? Like, it, yo.
So no video games for you, bro?
Yeah, nah, not really. Damn. Or there would be phases where I'd play video games and then just stop, work back on the music. So it's either like I tend to focus on one thing most of the time. So if it's got my time, then I'll be there, like really in it. So yeah, I did have like a painting phase, but it didn't really last that long. But I have a lot of interest in like graphic design and stuff. But yeah, I think it's just getting those resources, because like, yo, dude, Photoshop and all these things are expensive.
But these cracks on the internet.
We don't crack here. We're trying to do things the legit way,
the
man.
Legit way.
Man,
legit way.
Dog.
Don't pay nobody but that one. But that's dope.
Yeah.
So, especially like, because that's something I've noticed with a lot of people that are into music specifically. They tend to also like turn to other arts for like expression.
Yeah.
Especially when this thing starts feeling like a job.
Yeah.
You definitely. Do that too, I assume.
Yeah. I think for me, it's just to keep the momentum going, like my creative side of things. Just keep it going.
Just keep it going.
Because like I also have an interest in like photography. Like that stuff's amazing.
I heard you describing the lighting in Euphoria.
Yeah, man, that's the kind of stuff I pay attention to, because it's like, wow, man, I'd like to execute something like this. Hopefully in like a music video of mine or something, you know what I mean? Or just like have a feed where it's just like aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of things. Like I really admire people that like know what they're doing in those departments. It's very commendable. It's very interesting, man. It's really cool. So like, shout out to everyone that's out here just doing something creative.
When it comes to like your drops, right? Like you said, you want to drop something every month.
Yeah.
You've already dropped Interim, right?
Yeah.
You dropped Interim, which is really, really dope. It's
Thank
crazy
you.
Crazy as to that. You should listen to that.
Tango.
Yeah. What kind of media do you consume to end up like producing that kind of thing? Like, dog. I mean, you don't do drugs, you don't drink, so where does the inspiration come from, bro?
Yeah, dude, I guess it's those things. It's like watching a show, watching a film, or even
what are you
like
currently watching now, like on TV, on Netflix.
Yeah, there's
on anything.
I have phases where like I watch a bunch of things and then I just stop watching them. So like Euphoria, well, I'm up to date there. I started watching Insecure, but then I stopped somewhere. I think like in season 2 or something.
The first episode.
No.
Insecure. First episode. Episode 1, season 1. I was like, what?
You're like, aye. Come on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have phases where like I watch things and then I just stop. But like, I don't watch a lot of things like in terms of like film and television. Yeah. I think what consumes a lot of my time is like YouTube. Then I'll be watching like gang tutorials.
Damn,
or I'll be watching like interviews and stuff. I think that's what takes most of my time.
Do you have an interview that you like repeatedly go back to?
There was one, but like I think it's been a while now since I've watched it. But yeah, there's just a couple of like really beautiful interviews.
Like on podcasts and stuff. But my Joe Rogan vibes, is it like interviews of like musicians and stuff like that?
It could be a bit of both. So, like, one on a podcast, one in just, like, general, like what Rick Rubin was doing with Kendrick.
Oh, man, I love the broken record.
Yeah, ooh, yeah. So, it could be any kind of interview. Just, like, hearing from the artist and just getting their perspective on things. I think I find that really cool. So, yeah, I think YouTube really consumes most of my time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, other than that, I'll just either watch, like, anything on, like, DSTV or whatever. Just...
Nothing on Pornhub.
Nah, sadly not. not my cup of coffee.
I expected
that to startle
you a bit.
Oh, to be like, oh my god, oh shit. Nah.
You consume yours off of Twitter, I hear it.
Huh? No. Nah, bro, it's just, yeah. Nah, it's not my thing.
Yeah, man. But yeah, man, I think that about sums it up in terms of, like, the questions I have to ask. Is there anything that you'd like to share?
Yeah, not much. I think I'm just grateful for, like, everyone that's just been, you know, supporting me, man. Like, yes, it's been such a beautiful thing, honestly, because I'm honestly just doing what I love doing, and I just put it out there, and, like, to see the reception and just to see people taking it wild and really rooting for me, because, like, even with the Universal announcement, bro,
got so much love.
The reception, man, that was so beautiful. So, like,
how were your DMs?
Dry, very dry.
Very dry.
Yeah, you'd be very surprised. Yeah, they were dry. Sabana, but yeah, no. Like, generally, like, the notifications, yeah. Yo, people went ham, bro. So yeah, I'm just really grateful for, like, everyone just supporting the boy.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm just excited to see what, like, this Universal journey will bring.
Yeah.
I think I can just say the future is very exciting. That's all I can really say.
Quite an exciting future. Like, you have probably, like, the best start to 2022 ever.
Yeah.
I've never seen anyone enter like this. That's
crazy.
Really proud of you.
I'm thankful. Yeah, really, man, thankful.
Thank you for doing this with us.
Nah, shout out, bro. This platform is cool.
Yeah, man. It's a dope platform. Man, let's get this on YouTube.
It is. Mm-hmm.
It's been that Behind the Boards conversation with Yolo Phonic. We're reporting to you live from a secret location. But yeah, thank you to the people that allowed us the space. And yeah, man, really appreciate it. I would.